Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Law Hour. The Law Hour is sponsored by Truth Radio Network. It's an educational service in the public interest. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour is heard nationally 7 days a week on Truth Radio and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Gordon Law School, please go to my website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the anti-Semitism of the book that I'm reviewing called The 6 Million Reconsidered, right after this break. So hang on. You know, with an income of $50,000, you're paying about $7,650 in Social Security tax. Now, that's if you're self-employed and you're paying 15.3%. Well, then, should you subtract the $7,650 from the $50,000 gross income and then pay your income tax on the $42,350 balance, instead of paying 17% of that $50,000 a second time? But you know the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of $50,000 in Social Security tax, and then they make you pay an additional 17% of that same $50,000 in income tax. That means that you're paying 17% of $7,650 twice. That little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from you and from everyone else that pays that tax. What would you think if Sears Pennies or your credit card company charged you twice, like Social Security and the IRS? I just thought you'd think that was just real special. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call me at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package at the same time. Well, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. Remember, it's entertaining, educational, informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and status is available on compact disc for home education. If you're online, go to the website at georgegordon.org. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we took a look here last time at anti-Semitism. If you say anything negative about Israel or about Jews in general, you're branded. You're called an anti-Semite, a hate monger. In fact, laws have been enacted in Canada and some other countries, Germany, and probably three or four others, in which they want to charge you with a crime for exercising free speech. I say that that sucks. But then, you know, don't let me get in the way of the happiness and success of people that don't care about their right to free speech. But the reason that I wanted to bring that to your attention is to set the stage for what comes next. Because I'm reviewing a book here which is entitled The 6 Million Reconsidered. And this is called Revisionist History. Revisionist History. I guess the same thing was going on. It was revisionist history when Michelangelo and Leonardo and Galileo and, you know, these early Catholics, you know, were taking a look at the flat earth theory and the sun revolves around the earth and the various historical as well as astronomical and mathematical formulas, you know, that went on. And the official jargon of the church at the time, the official jargon of religion, whether it's Muslim religion and their official jargon, or it's Jewish religion and their official jargon, or Christian religion and the official jargon of officialdom. No, they'll tell you this is what God believes, and if you don't believe it, you're a heretic and we want to kill you. Well, the same thing is going on today. This is the 21st century, and it's worse today than it's been in the last 500 or 1,000 years. You know, the Catholics were out here burning people to death in barns, and the Muslims are out here creating jihads. The Christians, you know, and the Muslims are at it, and then the Jews, they've got their little piece of the action. And this book is a piece of yellow journalism. And I'm sorry to see that because it's filled with dynamite information about Jews, Jewish religion, and all the skeletons buried in the Jewish closet. But the reason I call it yellow journalism is because it's entitled The 6 Million Reconsidered. Is the Nazi Holocaust story a Zionist propaganda ploy? And I expected to see chapters in here with the plans for the Auschwitz crematoriums and the gas chambers. I expected to see eyewitness accounts that would tell me that, no, it wasn't 6 million, it was 600,000. Or, no, these weren't crematoriums, these were something else. Or, no, this wasn't a gas chamber, this was a delousing chamber. And while there's references that would lead me to believe that that's the conclusion that I'm supposed to believe, they don't have any names, date, times, places, facts, witnesses, or evidence. Not one in the whole book. Boy, am I let down. Boy, am I disappointed. I thought these guys were going to give me the lowdown on Judaism and these dirty lowdown Jews, and I didn't get that out of this book. And that's why I said the book is yellow journalism, and I'm going to show you why. Now, I'm not here to defend Jews and Judaism. Don't turn the radio off just yet. I'm after them. But I want to be after them on the right grounds. I don't like yellow journalism. I don't like lies. I think that there's enough out there, if we just stick with the truth, that we can hang them against the wall. But don't you think we should use the truth rather than innuendo? And that's why I said last night, don't write me an email or a letter now and call me an anti-Semite. I want you to produce witnesses, evidence, and testimony. I want some cross-examination here. I want some facts. I don't want yellow journalism. Now, here's the table of contents. Now, I read to you the foreword, told you what Mark Twain had to say about Jews, and then we covered the anti-Semite smear. That was chapter 1. And then we have the next chapter. It's called Zion's Own 6 Million Plan. You see, that chapter is mislabeled because they're trying to tell me that they're going to explain to me how the Jews have lied to me about the 6 million killed in World War II. And this chapter tells us about what the Jews plan to do to the Christians. Well, okay, that's a good chapter. But I think the book should have been entitled What the Jews Plan to Do to the Christians. I don't think it should be titled The 6 Million Reconsidered. That's a misnomer. Next chapter, it says Breaking All Vows. And that's a great chapter, too. It's got a lot of facts and figures. And I don't doubt that the facts and figures are all true, but it doesn't have anything to do with the 6 million Jews being killed in Nazi concentration camps. It doesn't prove that they were. It doesn't prove that they weren't. In fact, it has to do with the Kol Nidre Oath and various other oaths. And I'm sitting there saying, well, that oaths is a valuable, valuable piece of information. But then shouldn't the book have been entitled False Jewish Oath and Other Rites? And then there was the Tsarist pogrom myth. Well, that might have been a good title for the book, but there's nothing in that chapter entitled The Tsarist Pogrom Myth that has anything to do with the 6 million Jews who were gassed in Nazi concentration camps. And then there's the Jews and organized crime, and boy, is that an expose. I thought all of the mafia dons were Italian. Come to find out that the biggest criminals in America are Jewish, like Meyer Lansky. Okay, then the name of the book should have been called Jews and Organized Crime. But that chapter doesn't have anything to do with the 6 million who were exterminated in Nazi Europe. And the controversy that I said I wanted to take up was the Jews say 6 million Jews were exterminated by the Nazis. It was a Holocaust. And they showed us the pictures and they gave us the names and the dates and the times and the places and the facts and the witnesses and the evidence and all the rest. We've been watching it for 60 years, and along come the revisionists. And this is a group of revisionists, and they announce themselves as being revisionists, and it says, we want to take a look at the 6 million killed. We think it's a hoax. We think the Jews put it on. But identifying Jews and organized crime doesn't get the job done. And then one who survived. They took a chapter. And they said, here's a guy that survived. And they ridicule and they impugn him. And they say, well, there's just one witness here. And I'm saying, well, that's true. But there were hundreds and thousands of witnesses that have testified over the years. And some of them are probably liars. Some of them probably told 75% of the truth and 25% was lying. Some of them, maybe it was 50-50. Some of them told the truth as best they knew it. Some of them explained the various and sundry things that happened to them. And the writer maybe embellished it or something like that. And then they took on the Anne Frank diary. and exposed it as being a hoax. Well, I don't think they kind of exposed it as being a hoax, but they alluded to the fact that it was a hoax and that it was false and that it was ghost written, and there's a scandal around it. But again, Anne Frank is not the proof that the Nazis did not kill 6 million Jews. And then some makers of the myth then talk about the Bible and Esther and Mordecai, and they ridiculed and impugned that, ridiculed and impugned Moses, ridiculed and impugned the entire Old Testament of the Bible. But again, that may be good scholarship with the Bible, but it doesn't do anything for the case at hand. And the case at hand, did the Germans kill 6 million or not? And they failed totally to make their case in that chapter. Then they have Jews and communism. Boy, is that an expose. It's a wonderful chapter. Has a lot of facts and figures in it. Identifies a lot of Jews being communists and vice versa. A lot of Jews in Russia. A lot of communists in Russia. A lot of Jewish communists in Russia and on our side. But it doesn't do anything to make the case against Hitler and the Nazis and the 6 million. Now, if William Randolph Hearst were here today and he had written a story, a book like this, we would call that yellow journalism. Hearst was the progenitor of that concept. Sensationalize it. Put a headline on there and then put a lot of words in there and inflame people's emotions. Get them real excited. Because that's what sells newspapers. But that doesn't necessarily convey the truth. It doesn't necessarily convey the facts. And so they take some truth, and they take some facts, and then they mix it with some lies, and then they mix it with some error, and then they bundle it all up, and they put a neat cover on here, and they tell us, the 6 million re-examined. Now, let me take you back in history a little bit here. Let's take a look here at Zion's own 6 million plans. Let me read to you a piece of the chapter. Although it may be news to the trusting millions whose notions of history are limited to catchwords and cliches of the mass media and mass education, the Jewish persecution did not begin with the supposed gas chambers of Auschwitz in 1942, nor did the Zionist rape of Palestine suddenly materialize out of the busy brain of Chaim Weizmann in 1948. Claims of terrible oppressions are as old as the special brand of religious literature that is cherished by Zionist Jews. Remember the Egyptian and Babylonian captivities, among many other insults and injuries? This reaches its highest form in the strange and little-known books called the Talmud and the Kabbalah, which are virtually the objects of worship in Judaism. But at the same time,
this is Tracy Freeney, founder of Lifeline Communications. Well, you can stop trying to figure out which long-distance company has the best rates. With Lifeline Unlimited, you can make all the long-distance calls you want for as little as $49.95 a month. That price also includes your local phone service, which means no more local phone bills. And we'll throw in at no charge 10 of your favorite calling services like voicemail, caller ID, and a lot of other great features. For example, let's say you want to tell all your relatives that you just had a baby. Just pick up the phone and say, "It's a boy!" In 5 minutes, your voice message will be delivered to everyone on your email list. Unlimited long distance, unlimited local service, and 10 highly advanced features, all for as little as $49.95 a month.
Well, I got Grandma Wilson caught it.
I'm sure she really appreciates it, Stu Bob.
Doreen, am I? She told me that the Johnsons are using their warehouse to house the homeless. We ought to do something like that.
Like what?
Except they forgot. Like letting the homeless sleep in our garage.
We have a carport.
Oh, that don't work.
You do quite a bit, do you?
Doreen and May, everybody I know is doing big things for God. Maybe we can do more by going forward or something in the backyard.
Stu Bob, we can touch the fence from the back door.
Like what?
You want to call Grandma Wilson's toilet.
The Johnsons are housing the homeless. And me? I unclog toilets. I can see the people filling the churches now.
Small things are important, too. If everyone fed thousands or housed the homeless, then Grandma Wilson's toilet would never flush.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Law Hour. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest sponsored by Truth Radio Network. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived for your listening convenience on the Internet at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. You know, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it, and a Budweiser six-pack has a 43% tax, and a fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed 72%. Now, governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms. But what is it that government is doing to produce, prepare, or deliver, for which the government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, or 72% for a drink? Does the pizza parlor make a 38% profit on a pizza that they buy the ingredients to make, prepare, cook, serve, and pay rent on the store that you sit in to eat it? What does the government get paid more in tax than the people who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that you and I buy? Well, for more information about tax and status, why don't you call me at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. Entertaining, educational, informative, and it's free. Tax and Status is a school which is available on compact disc with all of the paperwork to go with it for home education. So if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org, click on the email machine, and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Or you can call me direct at 417-273-4967, either or. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about this thing of anti-Semitism, the 6 million reconsidered, the concept of revisionist history. I already told you what I thought about stifling free speech. But in the opposite side of stifling free speech is the duty for the guy exercising his right to free speech to tell the truth, isn't it? I mean, I'm not opposed to attacking George Bush, but I'm opposed to lying about George Bush. There isn't any need to lie about him. He's already done plenty if you just come out and tell the truth. The same thing is true with Catholics, Protestants. You know, there's a lot of dirty linen in people's closets. I mean, you can go to the dirty linen and you can get it out. You really don't need to spend any time lying about Jews or Catholics, or Christians or Muslims. There's enough dirty linen there, boys and girls, that we can hang them off to dry. That's my point. I'm opposed to lying about people. It ain't necessary. There's an old adage, you know, that says the guy'd lie when the truth would serve his purpose better. And I contend telling the truth will serve our purpose better. Don't lie. All right. Now, going on, they go on to point out, and they're not lying here. When we get to some of these lies and distortions, I'm going to identify them. They go on, they say, but at the same time, as these books purvey a sad tale of woe at the oppressions of the ancient Jews, they also trumpet brazen imperialism and hatred for other people. You see, the non-Zionist Rabbi Elmer Berger, in his Partisan History of Judaism, repeatedly condemns the Talmud and the Torah as outpourings of nationalist fanaticism. Now, the Talmud is the Jewish book of the law, and the Torah is the Mosaic law. And so here's this Zionist rabbi, Elmer Berger. He condemns both the Talmud and the Mosaic law as outpourings of national fanaticism. More important, he quite correctly identifies the books of Moses as the source of modern Zionism. Well, I don't think that's true. I think that's a lie. I think that the source of modern Zionism is the Talmud, and that the books of Moses is a historical and a legal account of the God of creation, El Shaddai. But they go on to say that even the devoutest Christian, if he reads the Bible carefully, can discover countless declarations that his chosen people means to accomplish in the world. Now, I'm going to underline this word chosen people over here because the authors of this book are identifying the Jews as being the chosen people. I deny that. I dissent. That's patently false. I'll tell you why. I'm going to go through a genealogy here in a little bit, and we'll take that subject up probably next time. But I'm going to show you, boys and girls, that the Jews, even if the Jews are in fact the literal descendants of Judah, the world's first Jew, they only represent 1/12 of the family. That's all. Just 1/12 of them. Albeit the largest single tribe. I can show you right from the scripture, the historical documentation. We'll cover that in a little bit. But they go on to cite some scriptures. Now, they're talking about national fanaticism and that it comes from the Bible. Now, here's Deuteronomy 7, verse 16. Here's what God said. And you shall consume, eat the spoils, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, of all the peoples which the Eternal your God shall deliver unto you. Thine eye shall have no pity on them. And then in Psalm 110, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. The Eternal at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies, and he shall wound the head over many countries. Psalm 110. And then the Bible goes on to say, come near, you nations, to hear and hearken, you people, and let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all the things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Eternal is upon all nations, and his fury upon all of their armies. And he has utterly destroyed them, and he has delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain shall also be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted in their blood. For it is the year of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. That's a prophecy from Isaiah 34. Pretty bloody. It's genocidal. Genocidal. And when God destroyed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, that was an act of genocide. He killed 450,000 people that afternoon. And when he killed all the firstborn of Egypt, you know, that's another genocidal, homicidal maniac, God Almighty, killing all those people. But you know, there's a legal thread that runs through that. And this God claims that he owns this earth, he owns the universe, he created it all, and it belongs to him. Now, I happen to have a piece of ground here, and I happen to have a few cows. And when I go down and kill one of my cows, I have a right to do that. But God help you if you go down and kill one of my cows. We have laws against it. you don't have any right to come in here and kill one of my cows, but I can kill them all day long. And that's precisely the order of law that God has set down. He owns you, and he'll terminate your life anytime he wants to. First of all, you don't have anything to say about it. You can't stop it anyway. And secondly, he owns you and your chattel property, so if he wants to terminate you, he's got a right to do that. And that's just the way that game is played. Now, there are dozens more. You know, the Old Testament is replete. I'm reading again. I'm citing here from the book. There are dozens more. And he's right. I can cite you chapters and chapters and chapters of statements just like that, even bloodier. The Old Testament is replete with this sort of thing, particularly the book of Joshua, which is a frightful chronicle of one mass murder heaped upon another. Now, that's a lie. Those are not mass murders. Those are executions. God tells us plainly that we did not enter the promised land because of our righteousness. He said the people that are in there are wicked and evil, and I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to use you to destroy them. And he tells us that story. It's in Exodus 34. I'm going to break in here. These guys get me excited. Exodus 34. Mark Twain used to say there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. These guys are damn liars, and they ought to know better. If you've got a Bible, flip over to Exodus 34, verses 10 through 17. And God says, and he said, behold, I make a covenant before all of your people, and I will do marvels such as have not been done in all of the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which you are shall see the work of the Eternal, because it's a terrible thing that I will do with you. I'm going to use you people. We're going to go in here, and we're going to kick butt like it's never been done on this planet before. There's going to be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. That's execution of judgment, boys and girls. And he said plainly, these people are wicked and evil, and I'm driving them out, and I'm going to put you in their place. Then he made one more statement to our people, and he said, now you're going in here to take over these people's land. I'm going to send you in here to Virginia, Ohio, Illinois, Iowa, and we're going to throw out these pagan nations before you. But he said, if you do after their works, if you pollute this land the way they have, you will not prolong your days in the land, but I will destroy you from off that land also. And here we are, boys and girls, getting ready for the great tribulation when we're just about to be destroyed. Don't get mad at God now. We had a duty his specific performance under the law and didn't do it. Going on, gets even worse. He says, observe thou that which I command you this day. Behold, I drive out before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. In modern times, it was the Arapaho and the Navajo and the Apaches. I'm driving them out. Now take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant. Don't you make any treaties, covenants, or contracts with the inhabitants of the land where you go, lest it be for a snare in the midst of you. And we made 374 treaties with these 376 Indian tribes. Two tribes wouldn't sign. But you shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves, for you shall worship no other god, for the Eternal, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous god. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice after their gods, and one call you, and you eat of his sacrifice. And you take of their daughters unto your sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make your sons go a-whoring after their gods. You shall make you no molten gods. So there's a prohibition there against marrying these people. Now, with that out of the way, thought I'd correct the record. Now, it could well be that these people here in the book called The 6 Million Reconsidered are telling the truth and God lied. I'll leave that for you to decide. I didn't tell you who to believe. I just wanted to tell you that there's another side to the story, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said, that's not true. That's not mass murder. That's execution. We execute murderers in this country, and when you've got criminals occupying your real estate and you want to drive them out, which is what God was doing with the Amorites and the Hittites. That's not murder. Now, there's one more thing I got to mention here. Adolf Hitler never murdered anybody. As a matter of law, the people of Germany elected him as their Führer, elected them as their Chancellor, just like George Bush. Now, George Bush and our political establishment is in the process of spraying us under Title 50 of the U.S. Code. Did you know that? You know those contrails that you see up there in the sky every once in a while? And those contrails up there are loaded with all kinds of toxins. And those toxins cause upper respiratory disease. And a lot of people die from that spraying. Your government's not murdering you. You have a right to elect that government, and you did. And your guardians in Washington decided that you needed to be sprayed. And when Hitler decided that those people needed to be gassed in the concentration camps, he did it. And we Americans, when we got out to Wounded Knee, and we decided that those Indians out there needed to be killed, we killed them. There was no murder involved in that. That's execution. Now, murder is a little different than execution. One of these days, we're going to execute Saddam Hussein. It's a foregone conclusion, isn't it? Just like the Nuremberg war crimes trials. And had the Germans won, we would have had a Nuremberg war crimes trial. And the people on trial would have been the Secretary of State of the United States and Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman and so on. And they'd have taken a bunch of them over there and they'd have hung them. Japanese would have taken their share. They would have hung General MacArthur. And that would have been execution. That's the results of war. That's not murder. That's execution. Let's get our metaphors correct. Let's understand law. There's a big difference between murder and execution. The state's not murdering people like Ted Bundy. And when people are being aborted, you know these little fetuses, they call that murder? That's not murder. That's passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. Now, it happens that passing your seed through the fire to Moloch is a capital felony, which is punishable by death, as is murder. But you know, God has laid out with specificity what these crimes are and what the acts are to constitute those crimes. Religious people, they get kind of excited, and they hang the wrong labels on people. And like this book, they write books, and they tell you lies mixed with the truth, which is a total deception. Let's see if we can support the lies and the truth.
Online business simulation, J.A. Titan. Students get a glimpse of what it takes to run a business, and you can help. Volunteers teach today's youth business skills they'll need with J.A. Titan. Contact your local junior achievement office or visit www.ja.org to get involved. Today's kids are tomorrow's leaders. Let their success be your inspiration.
The instrumental music you hear from time to time on Truth Radio comes from the creations of Jordan Philip E. Noddle. To purchase the newly released album in his moment, call toll-free 1-800-748-5549 or visit online at www.neednoddle.net. Jordan's unique, inspiring compositions of piano and synthesizer have touched the hearts of many the world over. He has, through his music, presented in one word, excellence, says Jake Rinner of Crimson Light Christian Music Reviews. So call toll-free today at 1-800-748-5549 or visit neednaghel.net. The music of Jordan Philip Neednoddle.
Tozer. You're listening to The Law Hour. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, The Law Hour is sponsored by Truth Radio Network. It's an educational service in the public interest. And your support of Truth Radio Network and of our advertisers and sponsors is very important to us. So for more information about Truth Radio Network programming, please go to our website. That's truthradio.com. That's truthradio.com. Truth Radio Network is a private volunteer organization established as a private charitable trust for the purpose of exercising and defending free speech. And Truth Radio is not a 501c3 tax-exempt institution. Donations are not tax-deductible. Now, if they were tax-deductible, we wouldn't be free to tell the truth, so we rely instead upon the financial support of our listening audience to help us pay for our satellite time, internet audio streaming, and our overhead costs. So we thank you very much for that financial support. Remember, that comes through your donations that you make here to Truth Radio, P.O. Box 344, Napomo, California, 93444. Again, it's Truth Radio, Post Office Box 344, Napomo, N-I-P-O-M-O, California, 93444. Here's tonight's wise old saying: the repairman will never have seen a model quite like yours before. All right, we're talking about this thing of anti-Semitism, the 6 million reconsidered. We're getting off into yellow journalism here. Remember, they're calling this mass murder. Now, the killing of 6 million people in these concentration camps during a time of war. Now, there were some murders there, no doubt about that. Whether or not there were 6 million murders is a legal question to be decided. Now, at the Nuremberg War Crimes trials, some new legal precedent had been set down, or was set down at that time. And men make laws, but those laws don't circumvent and they don't replace the law of God. That's the bottom line. And in Exodus 34:10 through 17, he told us plainly that he was going to use us to punish certain people. I don't think the Jews have ever picked up on the drift of what happened to them, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was punishing them for their crimes. And he used the Germans to do it. Then he turned around and punished the Germans by putting them in a national captivity for about 5 or 10 years. After World War II, for their crime. And we Americans over here are about to go into national captivity, and we're going to get our punishment. You guys down in South Africa and Rhodesia have already been taken into national captivity. And the Australians, Canadians, New Zealanders, you're all waiting your turn. And this goes on, has been going on for about 6,000 years. I'm always amazed that in April, right at Easter, tornadoes come ripping up Tornado Alley, and they'll knock down churches. And the people say, oh, thank God that only 5 people were killed and 35 injured. It never seemed to dawn on people that they're being punished like the Egyptians for practicing their Baal worship. It hasn't dawned on anybody yet. But then I suppose the pagans have been doing that, you know, for thousands of years, that no matter what the punishment that comes down, we always thank our God that it wasn't worse. Seemed like me that you ought to thank God that it didn't happen to you. And if it did happen to you, you'd say, gee, I must have done something to bring this punishment on me. Maybe I should change my lifestyle. Well, they go on to say here, of course, there is a tendency by Christians to approach the Old Testament in an attitude of unthinking piety and rote, over-familiarity, to take the word at something less than face value and in the mere sense of rhetoric or Bible talk. Now, to get the uninhibited and specifically Jewish restatement of these same ideas, one would have to look into the ancient Jewish law book totally unknown among the non-Jews called the Babylonian Talmud. Now, they're going to cite out of the Babylonian Talmud, which was condemned by all of the prophets and Jesus Christ himself, as being paganism rotten to the core. Now, these boys have done a pretty good job here. Now, let's take a look here at the Babylonian Talmud. This is called the circulating heart's blood of Judaism today. This is what the Jews call it. They call it their common law. Now, they hold up the Bible just like Bill Clinton. You ever see Bill Clinton coming out of church holding the Bible in his hand? What a hypocrite. We presume when we see a man carrying the Bible that he reverences the Word of God and that he believes it and practices it to the best of his ability. And that's what the signal is. If I was carrying the Koran around, wouldn't you say, oh, that Gordon is a devout Muslim, and he is just practicing Muslim theology to the best of his ability? Well, I've never had the Koran in my hand, and I don't intend to practice it, and I don't intend to get involved with it, and I don't intend to be a hypocrite either. Now, the Jews, they carry the Talmud around, and they study the Talmud. But they also carry the Bible around, and they talk about Moses and the Passover and these various and sundry ancient biblical laws. And they practice hypocrisy just like the Muslims and Christians do. They're all in it together. They mean well. I'm sure they mean well. I've got many Jewish friends, just like you probably do, and many Christian friends. Have any Muslim friends. I don't travel in those circles. So I'm not anti-Muslim. There's, like I said, there's plenty of skeletons to go around in everybody's closet. What we're looking at here is Jewish skeletons. Now, look at the Talmud in Sanhedrin 57. It says, for a murder, whether of a cousin, by a cousin, that's C-U-T-H-E-A-N, or of an Israelite by a cousin, punishment is incurred, but of a cousin by an Israelite, there is no death penalty. So if a Jew kills you, it's okay, but if you kill a Jew, we're going to hang. That's hypocrisy. It's the same kind of crap that we have with women. You know, if a woman gets caught practicing adultery, like Monica Lewinsky, she's a slut, but Bill Clinton, who was committing adultery with her, he's a stud. This is the kind of hypocrisy that's been going on in Christian theology for thousands of years. Didn't come from the Bible, didn't come from Moses, didn't come from God, Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. It comes from Christian religion. Now, here's another one. Murdering goyim is like killing a wild animal, Sanhedrin 59a. Even the best of the Gentiles should be killed, Abagazara 26b. Now, these are citations that come from the Talmud. These are pretty violent, aren't they? Let's try a couple of more. Goes on to say, extermination of Christians is a necessary sacrifice. It comes from Zohar and Shema. Now, if you think the Jews over there, and this is really a surprise to me, 70% of evangelical Christians are just supporting Israel to the best of their knowledge and belief. And yet, did you know if one of you Christians goes over to Israel and you start passing out your Jehovah's Witnesses tract in Tel Aviv, you'll be arrested, tried, convicted, and jailed for 5 years. Did you know that? Now, of course, a Jew can walk around all over, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, passing out his tracts and trying to convert Christians to Judaism. That's okay, because we practice religious free exercise. There's no freedom of religion in Israel. Well, there's no freedom of religion in Saudi Arabia either. Now, the place where we actually practice some form of freedom of religion is over here in Christian America, and to some degree, I guess, in Christian Canada, unless, of course, you start preaching against sodomites. I think you can get arrested up there now. You know, your freedom of religion is being eroded up there in Canada, you Canadians, you Australians and New Zealand. I go on here, and it says, extermination of Christians is a necessary sacrifice. Well, don't get too excited now, you know, when these Jews take over, and they're about to take over the world now. They're going to do that for an hour, short period of time, about 1 year. During this period of time, which is called the Great Tribulation, these 15 million Jews are going to succeed in their goal. All Israelites will have a part in the future world. The goyim at the end of the world will be handed over to the angel Duma and sent down to hell. Tradition tells us that the best of the goyim deserves death. As with the Sansino Talmud, the more homicidal Zorak passages have been omitted or toned down in the Sterling Simon English version. However, the comparatively recent DePauli French translation from which these passages are retranslated incorporates most of them. Now, here again, these authors have done a great job of exposing an evil in Judaism, that is, the Babylonian Talmud. But what was the subject matter of this book again? Wasn't it the 6 million reconsidered? Wasn't the subject matter in the index? Didn't they tell us in the foreword that we're going to examine this hoax of the 6 million that Hitler exterminated in Nazi Europe? Yet I read this book, and there isn't anything in here concerning the 6 million exterminated in Nazi Europe. There's a lot about the Talmud, and it's good information, and some of it's true. In fact, most of it's true. Some of the conclusions are false, but most of what's in here is true. And it's very damaging to Jews and Judaism. And I say more power to them, and I think it ought to be exposed. But I don't think that the Jews should be exposed by lies. I think the Jews ought to be exposed by telling the truth. And Jesus of Nazareth did just that. He told those lying hypocrites that they were, in fact, lying hypocrites. And he told them, "You are of your father, the devil." He called them. He said, "You're of your father's seed." He told them the truth. I think we should do the same thing. But I don't think that we should write books and then put a title on here, "The 6 Million Reconsidered." Now, let me tell you. I did read a book not too long ago, a year or two ago, concerning these 6 million. And I don't remember who it was that did it, but he was an engineer, and he went over to Auschwitz, and he had the actual German building plans, and he put those in his book. I'm a general contractor, and I could appreciate these plans. And he showed the crematoriums, and he showed the gas chambers, and the delousing chambers, and he told the story. I mean, there's a book that actually had something to do with the 6 million reconsidered. And he told a story, which is what these guys said that they were going to tell me in this book. They were going to tell me that story. They were going to give me names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence. And they didn't do it. That's my bitch. Fellow journalism. So let's expose the liars, the frauds, the hypocrites, and the cheats. But let's do it by telling the truth. Now, tomorrow I'm going to take up this subject of just who are these people anyway? Where is the genealogical trail, and where does it lead us? Well, I'm going to start off with Adam and Eve tomorrow, and I'll take you through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah, and Rachel, and I'll show you that those people that are calling themselves Jews today are descended from Shelah. They're mentioned in the Bible time and again, and there's a genealogical chart, and they have a 151st bloodline. That's it, 151st bloodline. If we were breeding cattle past the 10th generation, we wouldn't even count on them. Take up next time. See, we're out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Time to station for a long hour now. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Now the hour, you have Richard Palm pushed by a minute. Next one. Take a look at the news and the editorial review.